the Love, Heal, Thrive podcast, where you learn to love yourself enough to heal and heal yourself enough to thrive so that you can live a life that feels whole and complete, untriggered and unaffected by the people, places, and emotions that surround you. I'm your host, Erin Garay. I'm a hypnotherapist, Reiki master, medium, certified meditation and Enneagram coach, and simply someone who has experienced and seen energy and energy patterns her whole entire life. And quite honestly, it's been hard, but I have learned it doesn't have to be that way. I want to help you learn how to build an empowering life that is no longer triggered by people or situations. I want you to learn how to own every room you walk into with magnetic, powerful, amazing energy and experience the satisfying life that comes with it. Each week, I will offer you helpful tools and insight from my own journey, as well as bring in amazing and experienced guests that will help you on your journey by sharing their story and insight. Together, we will grow, and together we will learn how to love ourselves enough to heal and heal ourselves enough to thrive. I'm so happy you're here. Let's get started. Hi, I am so happy you are here today. We are diving in deep and wide today, although I think I do that every week. That's just who I am. I am that friend who goes to lunch with you, who wants to know what is going on in your soul. I want heart-to-heart, soul-to-soul conversation. If you are tuning in to listen to the Love, Heal, Thrive podcast, my bet is that's what your lunches look like too. I am incapable of surface conversation. I just want to be connected. Speaking of, I would love to hear in the comments down below what resonates with you in this episode today. So I love the soul-to-soul conversation, but today is truly about you connecting to your own soul. And we do that through agreements. Agreements are commitments to ourselves. It is an honesty with ourselves. It is a commitment to ourselves. And more than anything, it is about being accountable to our own self, not to anyone else. You see, our words and even our words in our head, also known as thoughts, are not about being accountable to someone else, or our words are about being true to who you are. Because you know when you've told the truth in word or in action, and you know when you haven't. And it's not about being quote unquote caught. It is about obtaining a peace that cannot be taken away when you are accountable to your own self. There is this peace that becomes so valuable to you that you don't want to give it away. You don't want to be around people that will take that away. You will defend that feeling of peace to no end once you have begun to experience it. And we know when we are in agreement with our soul, when we can look in the mirror, deep into our eyes at the end of our day, and connect with our soul and be able to just nod and know we were earnest throughout our day in thought and deed. And Louise Hay is the origin behind mirror work. Certainly saying affirmations and stating positive statements towards yourself is so helpful in mirror work. But mirror work can simply be time that you are gazing into your own eyes with love and beholding this window to your soul. Our eyes are our window to our soul. And when you can look into deep into your own eyes, you will then know and gain this love, this respect, and this peace for yourself first that will then have a ripple effect onto the people and situations into your life. But it starts with you first. And interestingly enough, when we do past life regressions, so as a hypnotherapist, I've done a ton of past life regressions, our eyes don't change throughout our many iterations of our soul, the different bodies that we are in, our eyes don't change. So when I have taken people into past life regressions and they come across someone, I always ask them, look in their eyes, do you recognize them? And their responses are always so magical because their whole body illuminates in the session and they will say, wow, that's my sister. Wow, that's my brother. Wow, that's my parent. And they recognize that person in a past life as someone from this life. Our eyes do not change through our many variations of our past lives and bodies. But back to this body and this work and this soul, but the same set of eyes. When we do this eye gazing for ourselves every single night, looking in the mirror, connecting to our own soul, connecting to our essence, we find more self-respect for ourselves. And then that respect turns to love, and that love draws in peace. And you find yourself never even welcoming in situation or people that would draw unpeace. I'm not sure if that's a word, but I'm going to make it a word because it's either peace or not at peace. So peace or unpeace. You avoid bringing in people into your life who draw in that unpeace because that mere feeling just feels too good. As you begin to make this a habit, this is your homework tonight. Look in the mirror. And not just, I don't want you to look in criticizing. Gaze into the deepest part of your beautiful eyes and see what you can connect to. And as you connect to this greater self of yours, you are going to find a peace, a love, a magic that is beyond words. And that's the person that you're accountable to in your words and deeds and actions every single day. You're not accountable to any other person. It's that feeling. And when we have been the best version of ourselves throughout the day, spending time with that soul at the end of your day feels like coming home. This right here, this is your greatest agreement that we have to make, is with our own soul. So why is agreements our theme today? Well, we are going to dive into agreements through the lens of the book, The Four Agreements, but kind of an expanded take on it all in raising two beautiful human beings that I could not be more proud of. They are incredible human beings and people. But like any children, just like we did, they would push the line from time to time and need to be disciplined, which was never fun for anyone. But every time they needed to be disciplined, there was three parts to their discipline, which they knew. And they knew it was coming every single time. So first, they had to make amends for whatever it is that they did. If they had to go apologize or write a letter, whatever it was, they had to make amends first for what they did. And then secondly, of course, there was reflective time created by way of no technology or spending time at home, but more so to allow them the opportunity to be present with themselves, because that's all. It's all just a growing process for everyone. But the third part that they all knew growing up in my home was that whatever the infraction was, you were assigned a book to read of my choosing that then helped develop the character of which we were needing to develop a little bit more that was being shown because they did something. They did something that shows that, okay, we're not quite evolved out of that aspect yet. We need to grow that aspect of our life more. So let's read this particular book. Or if there was a time constraint, I would have them also watch a few curated TED Talks or inspiring talks that were all about one particular topic. Whatever the offending topic was, that's what they had to either read a book or watch a bunch of videos and then report back to us what they had learned, how they had shifted, how they had changed, because I'm all about evolving their soul. As their coach and parent here on this earth, I want to help evolve their soul. So a few of the books included The Alchemist, of course, always a great one, and The Four Agreements. And if you are parenting children, I could not encourage you enough to allow this to be an additional aspect to your parenting. I feel like the kids would know. They're like, okay, they rarely got in trouble, which was amazing because they're, again, amazing human beings. But they're kids. We all got in trouble. But they knew. They're like, okay, what book am I going to have to read? Like they knew what was coming and what was expected of them. But they also knew it was because I wanted them to grow and evolve and change. So at one point in time, The Four Agreements was assigned. And I will include a link down below. It is an old and wise book that is very popular. I imagine you have probably read it or have at least heard of it. But it teaches us these four agreements that we can make with ourselves that allow us to reach this place of inextinguishable joy. It teaches us how to get to that mirror place of peace so that we can make these agreements with ourselves to draw in the greatest amount of peace possible into our life. So the first of the four agreements is be impeccable with your word. So yes, this means telling the truth, of course, but it also means so much more than this. Being impeccable with our word means that when you are making lunch plans and you say, oh, let's go to lunch, that you're actually pulling out your calendar and making lunch plans. Or when you say, let's get coffee, or yeah, let's get together. Don't say those words unless you actually mean it, because we all feel that. I know that you have experienced being in a situation where someone has said, oh yeah, let's get together. And it's usually that their voice trails off in that same manner, because you know they aren't going to call you or you aren't going to call them. But we feel like we need to be politely inauthentic to have social impact, I suppose. But truly, it sacrifices our personal peace when we make a commitment like that, but then we don't follow through on it. It disrespects our soul. So how are the agreements that you are making with yourself bringing you peace? Watch. I mean, even just with this little bit of our beginning, starting deep and strong, you will start to become more careful about what you commit yourself to. And guess what? When you do that, the first time that happens and you catch yourself, gosh, I remember I did that years ago. I caught myself from committing to a fake lunch or a fake coffee. And it felt so good. One, to not even spend the energy of saying it. I kept that energy within and it elevated my energy frequency, because that is our ultimate goal, is raising our energetic frequency to the highest frequency possible so that you can attract the highest frequency life into your life. Like attracts like. So simply by not saying something I had no intention of following through on, that small choice raised my energetic frequency. And as you continue to do that over and over again, this works in two parts. One, you are no longer wasting energy saying something you have no intention of following through on. But two, people know that when you say you are going to get together for coffee or lunch, they know now that when you actually say that, there's so much more importance to that, because they know you will be there. They know you will follow through, and you only offer that when you have the intention of doing it. Think about that. How many times have you offered the fake lunch or the fake coffee? This is just a simple way to walk your walk, not just talk your talk or talk your fake talk, because what you were saying, you had no intention of actually following through on. And when we do that, it's not a lie. I mean, I guess if you had to look at it, truth or lie, I guess it's maybe sort of a lie. But speaking your truth, being impeccable with every word that you say, allows you to create this moment at the end of your day, looking in the mirror, where you feel really good that everything that came out of your mouth today, you could be accountable for. My mother, again, the wisest woman I know, she would say, the road to hell is paved with the bricks of good intention. She would say it just like that. But I think we have good intention, but it's about the follow through. And it's okay for you to not want to have lunch or coffee with someone. It's okay for you to know your level of energy. It begins with respect, self-respect. Then it moves to self-love. Then it moves to self-peace. You've got to begin to respect your own agreement first for you to then elevate your level of self-love. Second, the next impeccable wording that comes out of our mouth. So often we feel like we've been trained to just give compliments because it makes other people feel good, except that those compliments don't feel good when they don't feel authentic. There is an energetic state that happens within our body. The words come out of our mouth and we have this sound vibration that leaves our mouth in the form of words. However, the energetic vibration and frequency of our words emanates from our throat chakra, which is the space just above our collarbone. So when the sound vibration that's coming out of your mouth in the form of words matches the energetic frequency that is always speaking truth from your throat chakra, people feel that resonance. They feel the congruence of those two frequencies matching and blending and vibing together. When someone is telling a lie, they're either talking really fast or their mouth gets dry or you find them coughing, or maybe you've been telling something untrue and your throat gets dry or you're coughing. Our throat chakra always wants to speak the truth. So our body wants to clear any stagnated energy because guilt or untruth causes this energy to stagnate. So our body wants to always be clear, always be flowing. So we cough, we get a dry mouth, we need to drink water. We need to do something to bring balance here to the throat chakra of honesty. However, when the words come out of your mouth that are untrue, but your throat chakra energy only knows how to speak truth, there is a sound frequency that is untrue and even inauthentic, because even an inauthentic compliment is untrue. Truly, we don't feel it, but we feel like we owe it. Our sound frequency of the words coming out of our mouth are at a dissonance to the energetic frequency of truth that is only allowed out of our throat chakra. Our soul only wants us to speak truth. So the dissonance between the sound frequency and the energetic frequency is felt. And this is how we know when someone is not telling the truth, or they're inauthentic, or they're not calling us for coffee. It's all the same, whether it's a lie or a fake lunch. This is what is actually happening when we have that interaction. There is a dissonance that we feel physically, energetically, emotionally, and mentally. The question is never if the person lies, because we feel it. The only question is how big is the lie or how big is the inauthenticity? When you are true to what you say, when you are true to what the words and the agreements of being impeccable to your word, people will come to know you are trustworthy, they can depend on you, and they will cherish you for your love and honesty. One other aspect, as we are talking about being impeccable with our word, social media posts. In the same way that we can be true to our words, we need to be true to our social media posts. What are you reflecting Are you reflecting something that at the end of the day you can look in your eyeballs and feel truthful and impeccable about it? Or are you trying to craft a story that you want people to believe? People will know. People feel it. They know the dissonance. They know the congruence and they know the dissonance. So as fun as it is to craft an incredible social media life, it's more important to create an authentic social media life because people will trust you and feel your congruence. Just create a social media life that also feels congruent to who you are and the energy that you're putting out there because people will feel it. Number two, don't take anything personally. As I had mentioned in the March 4th podcast, what is energy screening and do you even need it? Each one of our energy centers, our chakras, releases energy that creates a layer of our aura. So we have 7 main energy centers, 7 layers to our aura. Each one of those energy centers supports and feeds one of our senses. So our aura is this detective that helps us interpret and sense the world. So from the outside, working our way in, the farthest out is our 6th sense. Then we have our hearing, then we have our touch, then we have our sight, then we have our taste, then we have our smell. Closest to us, because we only let the people closest to us smell us or we smell them normally. But if any one of those energy centers has energetic stagnation found within it, which can come by way of emotional trauma, emotional struggle, energetic struggle. If any one of our energy centers, our chakras, is stagnant, as is that layer of our aura, so our interpretation of a situation would also be stagnated in one of those ways. Either we're not hearing what someone is saying, or we're not seeing what someone else is seeing, or we're not smelling or tasting or understanding or intuitively understanding what someone else might be saying or the way that they are seeing the world. So, how do we apply this here to this agreement? Don't take it personally because your energy stagnations may not match up with this other person's energy stagnations. And you view the world differently based off of your emotional experiences, your life experiences, and the ways in which your energy frequency is resonating. So often we get so offended or upset by the way in which someone is seeing the world, but it is simply that their aura is interpreting their world in a different way than the way you are interpreting your world. So if they're giving you advice, it's from their energy patterning. So we can look at this functionally and no longer take things personally and understand, okay, that's your formula. If we were to offer an energetic frequency, which exists within each one of our chakras, we can compare those numbers to our numbers and know, okay, our numbers are simply not matching up. So I can now know to not take what you're saying to me so personally. It's about your perspective, your energetic stagnation state. And guess what? I'm in my own energetic stagnation state. This is why I wrote my book, Establishing Equilibrium, which I'll include linked down below, but that I titled my book very consciously as Establishing Equilibrium, because we are always establishing equilibrium is never really a done deal. In regards to relationships, we are responding to others from our stuckness in the same way that they are offering advice to us from their stuckness, from their stagnation. So we can know that this is happening and no longer take things personally. It is just simply stuck energy. It's function. Functional energy or dysfunctional energy. And that's when we get offended. But here in this message today, don't take anything personally because we are simply functioning like a zipper. So you have a grid of energy that is flowing or energy that is stagnant. They have a grid. Think of it as one side of the zipper, and then there's the other side of the zipper, and they have their grid that's a little bit different than yours because you've lived different lives. So for some people, we find a perfect fit, and that zipper blends into each other perfectly, and it zips right up, and it's secure, securely attached, and feels wonderful. There are some zippers that we think that might be true, and then it pulls up and open from the bottom up. And these are these moments when we feel like the foundation in our life is falling apart or ripped open because these relationships that we thought were so secure are being ripped open from the bottom up. Or you find people in your life where the grid doesn't match at all, and we can't seem to get that zipper to even begin or start. And those especially are the ones that we do not want to take personally because it is simply stagnated energy. It's not personal, it's energy. How can you make that agreement with yourself to no longer take things personally and to understand it from this energetic state that is simply a mismatched zipper? What agreements have you been making with yourself, and are they bringing you peace? I'm going to let you reflect on that for just a moment, and we'll come back after this brief message. One-on-one coaching is a powerful way to come to understand how your emotional and energetic zippers work. Some patterns work for us and some not so much. Our thoughts trigger emotions, emotions move energy, and energy manifests physically. When we understand what's behind our thoughts, we can reverse engineer our thoughts and energy and create the life of our dreams. We can do this through pattern coaching. If this sounds interesting to you, I'd love to connect with you and chat more. Just click the link down below. Now, back to our episode. Agreement number 3, don't make assumptions. According to Oxford Languages, the definition of assume is supposed to be the case without proof. Again, we make this conclusion based off of our own energetic frequency. There is no proof in the matter. We are assuming based off of our side of the zipper. We can't begin to know what their side of the zipper looks like or feels like. We cannot assume that we know what that side of the zipper is experiencing. And without proof, we are making our own conclusions and determining that we know best for them. This is true not even of zippers, but also, who knew that this whole episode was going to become a metaphor for clothing? But it's so true. Have you ever tried to put on a jacket that was male or female, and you are used to one particular version of a jacket? The placement of buttons is different for female produced jackets or male produced jackets, and anyone can wear any jackets that they feel called to. However, buttons are often placed on the left side of a woman's jacket, while men's jackets typically have their buttons placed on the right side. So if you ever put on another type of jacket that you were not used to and try to button the button, you naturally look for the button to be on the side that you expect it to be on. This is so much the same in how we make assumptions based off of how we are used to doing something. We're used to putting the button in the hole from that particular way. So we assume someone else views the world the same way we would, except that they put their button on the other side. The important thing to know here to draw in peace into your life, that both are okay. The button placement is not personal, and the jacket can be closed both ways, from the left or the right. And you can choose which way feels the best for you. You can choose which jacket you would like to wear. But we can't make assumptions that we can begin to know what that person is experiencing just because we have put our jacket on a certain direction for our whole life. So we cannot begin to have proof or understanding and knowing of someone's experience when we haven't put their jacket on their whole life. The second part of this, never make assumptions, is what every relationship counselor has ever told you ever is to express your needs. They can't know that you want the bed made this way. They can't know that you want pink flowers, not red flowers. They can't begin to know aspects of your life that you and preferences that you don't share. But then we get upset because we feel like they don't know us because they don't know. And we assume that someone that might love us would know our preferences. Express your needs. It was just my friend's birthday this week, and she is the one who taught me how best to express my needs and how important it is to express your needs in a relationship so that they know how to love you and what your preference is in ways to being loved. So her card that I gave her that was so appropriate for her, it said on the front, "People call us high maintenance." And then on the inside, it read, "Well, of course." And the funny part of that is I think only the unconscious believe it's high maintenance when we know our preferences. When we know our preferences and we know what we like, we ensure that we tell the ones that we love and the ones that we have that expectation for to treat us a certain way, that we ensure that they know what our preference is in the ways in which we hope to be loved. It is knowing how we want to be loved and expressing that preference to people is the greatest form of our own self-love. If we need to be loved in a certain way, we begin first by loving ourselves that way and ensuring that the people that we know that love us are aware of our preferences. A great example of this, it was just my birthday. Yay, happy birthday to me. And I always love coffee and a healthy little something in the morning. I have a ton of gluten-free, delicious, yummy recipes. If you have good recipes, let me know down below. I'm always looking for new and delicious, healthy things I like to bake. However, it was my birthday, so I was going to be in decadence and I wanted a particular biscotti to have with my morning breakfast because my husband knows I like coffee and a something. And he's been super busy with work. And so I was at the store where they sell my favorite biscotti. And so I just bought some because I didn't want to not have my needs met. So I took care of my own needs first. And I kind of tucked them to the side because I didn't want to be there for my birthday and not have my delicious little biscotti. However, to my surprise and absolute appreciation and adoration, I woke up breakfast morning and he had bought the exact same biscotti. So he knew my preferences and bought them. And I'd also made sure that I was covering my own needs in case he didn't. And it was okay because I understand he's got so much going on right now. But how much more important did that make me feel that not only did he know my preference, he was able to take time out of his busy workday to make sure that I had the exact thing that I wanted in order to feel loved. And I also made sure I took care of it. Win-win, because I ultimately got 2 servings of my favorite biscotti. How can you not make assumptions that people know your preferences? How can you not make assumptions over someone else's experience? How can you make that agreement to yourself so that in resisting that assumption, you can find more peace when you look in the mirror at the end of the night? Final agreement, always do your best. This is a tricky one, especially for those of us who are like me, recovering perfectionists who are still recovering in a hard way. But I believe that your standard of best is relative. Your standard of best is relative to the amount of sleep that you got, to your energetic frequency. Energy is the common denominator, always. What is the best that your current energetic frequency can manage? What is the best that you can offer based off of your current energetic frequency? So I'll include a link down below on the podcast where I go through the emotional chart, but our energetic frequency is always raising and lowering based off of the amount of gratitude that we're expressing during our day and the emotions that we are feeling. When we can bask in gratitude and appreciation and love, we raise that energetic frequency and we give the best that we can based off of that energetic frequency. And in the wise, wise words of Maya Angelou, do the best you can until you know better. Then when you know better, you do better. But I think so often we get afraid of doing things that aren't perfect, and that limits them being birthed at all. Best is the enemy of good. Good enough. What's being asked to come through you? What is being asked to be birthed through you? That doing your best for today is enough. How can you do your best today and know that is enough, but it still births something, even if that's dinner, even if that's a shower today, that you can spend that time at the end of your day looking in your eyes, connecting to your soul, and knowing you did your best, that you didn't make assumptions, that you didn't take anything personally, and that you were impeccable with your words? What agreements can you make with yourself that will bring you to a state of peace that can't be taken away from anyone or anything? It begins with self-respect, respecting yourself to be accountable and loving and truthful and unassuming, simply connected to your higher self. It begins with that respect. Then it moves to love. Then it moves to peace. Is your peace enough to bask in, to maintain only the people around you who bring you peace? Your peace is enough. Your peace is everything. I can't wait to hear in the comments down below, which of the four agreements do you feel the most drawn to? What agreements are you making with yourself that can help you bring in the greatest amount of peace? And most importantly, let me know down below when you've done your homework and you spent some time gazing into those beautiful eyes of yours. And hey, before you go, be sure to check out my book, Establishing Equilibrium, available in paperback and on Audible, so that you can create an energy system for yourself that helps to draw in the most dynamic, magnetic life possible for you. Thank you so much for spending this time with me. I'm so grateful you are here. Good luck this week. I can't wait to hear how your agreements go. And I will see you next week. Love yourself enough to heal. Heal yourself enough to thrive. Take care.